The subject of today's episode is a method of torture used from the earliest of human record all the way to modern day. And for much of that time, it would have been rendered a person dependent on others for almost everything, demoting many to the standard of a simple beggar, used by kings and terrorists alike, whether you be a biblical character, a soldier, or even the son of an emperor, you too could be subject to this horrifying torture. Hope you don't have a problem with eye stuff, because today we cover abassination. I'm Kevin Young.
And I'm Dan. I can't believe I put myself through this every other week, Hurrigan.
And I'm Michael. Jimmy, go grab him. You grab. I'll grab the Irish guy.
Wait.
Grab
the hey! Come on.
Oh, this is strong.
Mike, did you bring your tools?
Oh, Jeremy, I did. I brought all the good stuff. Kevin, Dan, let me turn the lights off and then turn on this one light above you. You guys have a podcast.
Yes, we do. You're currently interrupting it.
Now, we can do this the easy way, or please let us do it the hard way. But you're going to give us your podcast.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, Dan's Irish. They're used to doing stuff the hard way.
Damn it, so it's probably going to be the hard way. What about you, Kevin? You want to convince him to go the easy way?
I would, but I'm from the Midwest, so I'll usually just go do whatever he wants.
Jeremy, bring me the bag.
Oh, I got the bag, Mike.
All right.
Actually, oh, what are you looking for in here?
Actually,
I got everything you need.
All right.
Actually, KY is on the left.
Jeremy, you take Kevin, and what I want you to do is I want you to put too many Cheetos in his mouth.
Come here, Kevin.
No.
Open wide.
Cheetos lack a marble.
Oh, they're the spicy comes ones,
the,
too.
Here comes the Cheeto train.
Kevin. Yeah, what do you think now? Well, go ahead and chew and swallow the Cheetos. What do you say? You know what? I'm going to start torturing Dan. Dan, take off your hat. I'm going to rustle your hair up. Yeah, you got a bad hair day.
What hair? I'm bald.
Jimmy's bald. Oh, God. I can't rustle his hair. Damn it. Well, you know what? I'm going to give you a curly mustache, except it's going to go down instead of up, and it's going to look silly.
Joke's on you. My facial hair already looks silly.
Ah, well, now it looks even sillier.
Mike, hurry, give him raspberries on his cute little belly.
What do you say now, Dan?
Harder, baby.
Oh, God, Jimmy, this is enough tough nut to crack. Oh.
I told you, he's Irish. They're used to
Jimmy,
it.
Jimmy, drink his beer.
Yeah, give me that beer.
Drink his
no,
beer.
No, yeah. No.
He's chugging it.
Nope.
Oh, it's so thick and gross. I hate it.
I'm dying Kevin's hair purple. His beard, his big beard. He's got a huge beard. I'm dying it purple. You don't like that, yeah. Do you?
Mike, we got these guys tied up.
No,
I'm not even going to bleach it first, so it will look really silly in about a week.
No, it's going to look all orangey and shit.
Mike, we got these guys tied up, and their podcast is just sitting there. I feel like we're torturing for no reason.
I just want them to give it to us. I don't want to. I want to steal it by torture, though. That's the whole point of their show, torture.
Wasn't Jeff supposed to be here with us?
Well, he'll show up eventually, I'm sure. But anyway, what do you guys? Do you want more torture, or is that enough?
I'm good. I'm soft, and I'm ready to call it quits.
Hurry, Mike. He's soft.
Leave my innocent alcohol alone.
Mike, hurry. He's soft. Get him hard again.
Okay. Wait, no. I'm not doing that again. I did that one time. Never again.
Danger.
Welcome to Michael and Jeremy Steal Your Podcast. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike.
How are you doing today?
Super fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. And we have a special guest today.
Who is that guest?
It's Jeffrey.
Oh.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Yes. Blackmail is a powerful motivator.
Should have been caught in that kindergarten. Anyways.
Alexa, sex lights. All right. So torture. Torture pod.
Why torture? What torture?
Torture covers torture devices. They have episodes where they go in depth into a specific way that someone would torture someone with a specific device.
It's a podcast called Torture.
The
about
podcast
torture?
Is called Torture. You can look it up on all the podcast platforms. Torture, and they talk about torture. They also delve into a little bit of true crime. Sometimes they cover a whole true crime episode.
It seems like they'd be in a Venn diagram with each other.
Especially if torture is included in the true crime. So, Jeremy, we have a little bit of a macabre. It's, you know, here at the beginning of the year, normally, we did a lot of it, you know, this kind of stuff, during the spooky season. But now we're starting off in the beginning of the year with spooky
stuff. With torture.
With torture, so grab onto your diapers and make sure that they're nice and tight for when you poop your pants because you're incontinent or something. And then, after you've done that, enjoy our torture pod episode. Right, Jeremy?
Yep.
So, you guys, we're going to be going into a series of murders from Australia.
Back to Australia?
Back to Australia we go. And the murders that are conducted there. Let me take you back to 1992. August.
I was 1 year old.
A man named Clinton Douglas Trezeizazizi.
Trezeizazizi?
Trezeiz. Sorry, Trezeiz.
Tres leches?
He was found in a shallow grave after being bashed in the head and buried. There was another man who, in 1994... would tell his friends, as it appeared on Australia's Most Wanted for two episodes, this gruesome murder, as he laughed to his friends, saying, "I murdered that guy. Yeah, I called him Happy Pants."
Wait, so in 92, some guy was found dead?
Well, no, the murder took place in 1992. And in 1994, when the body was discovered, Australia's Most Wanted started covering it and putting it on, you know, the television. And there was a guy who was like, "Ha, that was my work." And I called him Happy Pants.
Oh, that's case closed.
All right. We got him, guys. Right,
good job, guys. We did it.
Good job. Good job, everybody. Good job, Jeff.
I did it. You did it. It was you. It was all you.
And this man was name was John Bunting, okay, in Australia. We're going to be talking about the bodies in a barrel murders that took place between the span of 1992 and 1999. All right. So.
Tell me about the barrel and the bodies, the body barrel boys.
Oh, we found the guy.
The body barrel boys. All right, so there's this guy, okay? His name was John Justin Bunting, born the 4th of September in 1966. He was born in 1996.
I always remember this.
The years after the murder took place.
The 4th of September.
So
the first
when he was
before anyone was alive.
When John Justin, when Mr. John Bunting was born.
His name is just like mine.
In 1966, when he was 8 years old, he was beaten and sexually assaulted by a friend's older brother.
Allegedly.
As he began to grow up, he began to enjoy things like weaponry, photography, and anatomy. He really got into slaughtering animals after he eventually got a job working
Wait,
as
Mike,
an abattoir.
Let's unpack this. Wait, he was a child who was sexually abused?
That is part of his history.
By who?
A friend's older brother.
Oh, okay. Does it go into detail? Like, what did he do to him?
Nope, not going to go into that anyway. But
I mean,
we're
going to get into the psychology of this guy.
Well, I would imagine that would fuck you up, being sexually assaulted. And then that's why it's included, you know, as part of the story, because it's like you have this guy, he does all these terrible things, which we will get into if you let me, and then it starts off with the fact that he was a child and he was sexually assaulted. Does it have anything to do with it? It's very possible.
And then you're saying that he gets into photography, weaponry.
So
and
as he's growing up, he gets into weaponry, photography, anatomy.
Where's this coming from? What do you mean?
Just his life. I'm just trying to give you the spark notes of this guy growing up, because who gives a fuck about the guy?
You made spark notes like they make spark notes in real life. You're skipping over all the really interesting shit. He gets into photography. What do you mean? He's out taking pictures of anatomy.
I don't have that info.
Taking dick pics?
I don't know. I don't have that info.
He's throwing ninja stars in the woods and taking dick pics?
I would imagine. Okay, so if we had to speculate, because that's all we have. Right, so he gets into photography, so he's obviously photographing beautiful flowers in bloom, right?
Where'd this guy get a camera from?
No.
He just finds a camera and starts taking pictures of flowers and dicks?
Flowers and dicks.
He's buying mall ninja stars. This is the 80s, right? Or he was a kid in the 70s, late 70s?
Well, he was born in 66, and so he's okay. 8 years old. He's in, yeah, it's the so early he's 70s.
He's got sharp throwing cards that he bought in the mall. He's into weapons.
He's not in probably comic books.
It's Australia, so he's not into like Smith and Wesson. He's into like folding knives and shurikens.
Sure.
So this guy's jacking off, taking pictures in the woods, throwing ninja stars
at penises
after he was sexually abused by a friend.
Right. So then he gets a job at 22 working as an abattoir.
The fuck is an abattoir?
An abattoir.
Are you saying that French for an Australian?
No, it's okay. Abattoir. I don't know what an abattoir
is. Abattoir?
A-B-B-A-T-I-O-R.
Isn't that Spanish for, like, super young grandma?
It's the Spanish version of Inga Bubba.
Okay, so an abattoir is a butcher house.
Oh!
Slaughtering animals. Oh, and he got really, really into slaughtering animals.
Yeah, we still do that today. I had a buddy that worked on a mink farm. And I thought he was a psychopath, but he was a super cool guy.
He's just taking these adorable, fluffy little animals stripping their skin from their bodies.
Yep.
And he's in jail now.
No, he's got a really good job up in driving an excavator. It's pretty cool. $68 an hour.
And when Mr. John Bunting got a job at the abattoir or the slaughterhouse, he started telling everybody around him how much he loved slaughtering these animals. He enjoyed it. It was the best thing in the world. He couldn't get enough of it.
Oh, Mr. Jenkins, you need me to pick up another shift? You don't even have to pay me.
I get the joy from the job.
You know what? Just keep my punch card.
He then moved to a house in Salisbury North, South Australia in 1991. And then he became friends with his neighbors, Mark Hayden and Robert Wagner. These individuals would also come to be involved
in these various murders
that would take place after. He would include them in his rampage. So Robert Wagner was befriended by Bunting in 1991, and he encouraged Wagner to assist him in various murders.
Ooh.
Mr. Bunting is a very interesting fellow who decided, after murdering that guy with a shovel...
Is that what it was? It was a shovel?
He killed him. He killed him with a shovel and then buried him.
He's resourceful.
Makes sense. He has a shovel.
Right, he's resourceful.
Yeah.
So why am I going to carry a hammer and a shovel? It doesn't make any sense. Actually, Jeff, I don't know if you know this, but I wrote a poem about someone being killed by a shovel.
Right on. Was that Valentine's Day or?
He was a midget with spina bifida. It was a whole thing.
Okay.
This murder took place when he bashed Mr. Trezise in the face with a shovel in his own living room in Salisbury, South Australia.
Whose living room?
He accused Mr. Clinton Douglas Trezise of being a pedophile. Yoy, you're a pedophile. I'm going to kill you with this shovel.
So he's the hero of the story.
No, he wasn't a pedophile. He just killed him, and then he said he was a pedophile.
Oy, you smell like a pedophile.
The guy didn't even care? The guy didn't even care? Like, he's like, hey, why are you walking into my house with a shovel?
And then he buried him in a shallow grave in Lower Lake South Australia.
I'm also confused about whose living room was it?
The man, Clinton's.
It was the pedophile's living room.
Well, the pedophile proclaimed by Mr. Bunting.
Right, the pedophile
calls him a pedophile and then kills him with a shovel.
So he just walks into this guy's house with a shovel and he's like, please sit down, have a cup of scone.
He was inside for a social visit.
Can I hang your shovel?
Yes.
No, I'm good.
So,
sir, would you like me to hang your shovel?
So this guy, he walks into this dude's house. He's like, oh, please help yourself to my finger foods for this social gathering.
Please,
you're the first one to show up and also the only one to show up. Is that because you're a pedophile? No, and then he kills him with a shovel.
Please, finger any of the food. He points to a wall of children tied up to the wall. Yeah, I'll think you're a pedophile. Say hello to me, shovel.
I love how he's Australian, but he comes Cockney real quick.
Aren't they all, though? Isn't that where they come from?
No.
I'm pretty sure.
So then, a couple years later, he starts to he decides he's going to be going on a rampage. He's going to start his cleansing.
Of pedophiles.
Of pedophiles and fat people.
One in the same.
And
do you like food and children?
Birds of a feather.
So the next victim that would take place is Ray Allen Peter Davies, who was an intellectually disabled man in 1993.
Also known as a pedophile.
I feel like if you're a pedophile because you have four names.
And he began.
I thought there was actually. It's interesting that all these people have so many first names. Like,
so
as
many
their
names. Yeah. This is William Jackson Michael McCountry.
This is Andrew Anthony Jeremiah Watkins the third.
Yeah, the third, but the fourth, and then minus three. And you're like, wait.
So there was this intellectually disabled man who began dating Bunty's ex-girlfriend. Now, here's the thing.
Good for him.
Being the first victim in this rampage, because a couple years have gone by from the time that he killed that last guy with a shovel and then buried him, and then it went on television, and then he was bragging about it. So now he's...
What's your question?
I got a question.
Yes.
How does he know he's the first of a rampage? Did he just think it was like a one-off? Like, how do you know like you're part of a rampage?
I'm telling everybody else that it's the beginning of a rampage. I'm not saying it from the perspective of Bunting, but it's very possible that he knew that he was going to start going on a rampage because his mental faculties obviously have declined to a point where he goes into some really crazy shit, okay?
Well, I mean...
What if they're just individual killings and not a rampage? You don't even know.
He's not his fault. He keeps running into pedophiles.
It's the world we live in.
All right. So this really, really dumb guy starts dating his ex-girlfriend, Suzanne Allen. Now,
only two names?
She's safe.
Now, here's the thing. Suzanne's...
I know, right? She's going to live.
Suzanne's grandsons alleged that this guy, Davies, was actually making sexual approaches towards them. And then she broke up with him. She broke up with Davies, Suzanne Allen, Bunting's ex-girlfriend. Now, they remained friends.
With benefits.
I don't think so, because I think that's the reason why like they didn't become friends. Or he broke up with her because she wouldn't put out.
Well, maybe she wasn't putting out because she was a child, and he was a benefit.
Well, she wasn't a child. Her grandchildren are the ones that said that he was making advances towards them. And so, that's why she broke up with him.
He was a pedophile.
There's a very good chart. This is probably the only...
The fat, retarded guy named Davies is a pedophile.
So this is probably the only instance of pedophilia in the entire story.
I mean, you kill enough people, one of them's going to be a pedophile.
Right. He's doing God's work, Bunting.
So right before he vanished, Davies was residing in a caravan that was parked behind Suzanne's house. And on the 26th of December, 1995, Allen's daughter, Annette Cannon, observed Bunting and Allen cleaning out Davies' caravan.
Ew.
So Allen...
I don't know what that means.
So he was there cleaning out his caravan. So,
I clean out my caravan every time I take a shower.
I mean, you have to.
Gotta get the poison out.
Bunting stabbed Davies in the leg just before one of his own mutual friends, Robert Wagner, who is one of his befriended neighbors, strangled the man to unconsciousness with jumper cables.
Practical.
So in court,
he got stabbed then strangled.
Yeah, I'm telling about the murder.
He was the one who was strangled with cords and stabbed in the leg.
Stabbed in the leg first, and then another guy. Because there's a click now,
Wagner,
Jeremy.
Right.
So there's a click now, and then another guy, another one of Bunting's neighbors, which he has kind of brought into this cleansing scenario.
The pedophile hunting ring.
Yes. strangles him with jumper cables.
But he lived?
Why am I rooting for the retarded pedophile?
In court testimony, Vlasicus stated that according to Bunting's story, Bunting and Wagner loaded Davies's unconscious body into the boot, which is a fancy word for trunk, of a Holden Tirana.
They're not even good at killing.
They like, stabbed him in the leg and they strangled him.
He was unconscious. Yeah, and he was unconscious. And they drove 90 minutes.
They definitely didn't kill someone with a shovel then.
Yeah, and you know that they didn't.
Well, the first guy was killed.
They weren't trying to choke him with jumper cables to knock him out. They were trying to kill him with jumper cables, and they failed because he's a big, dumb, retarded guy.
So he's still alive. He's still alive. And right now, he's still alive. So at this point, they've abducted him, and they've taken him to a secondary location in the trunk of a Holden Tirana. They drove him 90 minutes to a house in the town of Bacara, South Australia. They tossed him into a bathtub and bashed him in the genitals with the end of a pole, which they literally hit him in the dick and balls until he died.
For the children.
So we'll also come to find out that Bunting, he hates pedophiles and he hates homosexuals. Mm. He hates them.
So he especially hates homosexual pedophiles.
And he hates homosexuals. And then I just think it's fascinating that he just goes for the dick and balls because it's...
It makes perfect sense to me.
Wait, no, I can't see the dick and balls good enough. I need to strike him right on his flaccid dick, his beautiful dick.
You're saying, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm saying he's probably like a psychology would say that he is a little bit gay and a little bit like likes children.
He's like, how dare you fuck that child? I wanted to fuck that child.
But then he didn't. No one did. No one fucked anybody. Like it was like no, like he. He went up, the guy he smashed in the dick and balls, like, didn't even have sex with his ex-girlfriend.
He couldn't even get his girlfriend to have sex with him, let alone his girlfriend's kids.
And on the 26th of May, 1999, his body was found in a grave filled in by Bunting and Wagner with bricks, soil, concrete on a property previously occupied by Bunting in Salisbury, South Australia. And then the security cameras had caught Bunting accessing Davies' account at multiple banks on several occasions between January and April of 1999, which also turns into a pattern with these murders. He gets these people's bank account information. So when he's doing his terrible torture to death methods, he's like, what's your routing number? what's your bank account number?
I mean, probably there's letters and stuff, right?
there's no letters in my bank account number. And this is in the 90s.
Right, when there were.
There weren't letters in
bank account. What's your bank account numbers? 3!
704.
Australian numbers. We've got this group of night watchmen who are beating the dicks of pedophiles.
Well,
I'm wondering if does it get more into the grandchildren?
So you say pedophiles plural. I would say the first guy, he got invited over for a dinner party and basically said, "You're a pedophile," and then just murdered him with a shovel.
You don't just accuse someone of being a pedophile. You know what I mean?
Well, he ends up doing that a lot.
Well, you got to remember how Australia started, Mike. It's a prison colony of rapists and pedophiles.
I feel like you can win any argument by like be like, you're a pedophile.
You tried to fuck those kids. Oh no, he's fucking the kids.
Oh no.
The next murder. I don't necessarily know why she was murdered, but this is a lady.
Did she fuck a kid?
Was she a pedophile? her name is Suzanne Allen. Oh wait,
just the two names.
Didn't she already
she
come
only
up?
Only has two names.
It's yes. Yeah, but they're both.
It's the
first,
ex-girlfriend.
But
so
they're both
this is,
first names.
This is Bunting's. So now
he
goes. Not only does he go after the pedophile who was dating his ex-girlfriend, he then murders his ex-girlfriend after
for dating a pedophile.
Right. She probably let him touch those kids. He was like, "Well, please don't touch me, but you can touch these
probably
kids."
Probably not. Probably not. But she was found buried at Bunting's house. At his house. He was stupid and didn't even bury her body.
Well, he's doing God's work. Never. He's not worried about where he buries him.
he's like, I can't find my shovel.
She was wrapped in 11 different plastic bags.
She's dead. So wrapped in plastic.
Her death was concealed by Bunting, and he continued.
It's a Twin Peaks reference.
And again, he continued to collect her pension after he killed her. So now the pattern continues where he's collecting people's money after he murders them. Although, I will say...
What an interesting murder trophy.
Yeah.
Money.
You know how many shovels I can buy with this money to kill pedophiles?
So many shovels.
It seems to be a very common thing with these murders that he attempts to collect their bank account information and then take their money after he murders them. But it's not... It's not the motivation for the murders. As
does it say why he killed her?
Probably because it was his ex-girlfriend and she wasn't
You're
with
saying
him.
Probably. We're
it doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
Correct.
Mm.
Objection. Speculation.
Yeah, those her misdeeds might be wrapped up as tight as she is.
So let me go into these other guys who are involved.
You know what? I think this guy was framed.
I'm rooting for this button guy.
I think he's innocent.
So we have Mr. John Justin Bunting. We have Robert Joe Wagner. We have James Jamie. Spiridon Vlasicus. And then Mark Ray Hayden. Those are the players in this game. Okay. And these are all that people that lived with Bunting or were neighbors of Bunting that eventually moved in with him. But these are all people kind of in this close proximity that he gets to be involved in this spree.
You always paid rent with bloody money.
And now we have Michelle Gardinet, a.k.a. Michael Gardinet. 19 years old, was a transgender Australian woman who lived in the residence of Nicole Zarita, a cousin of Wagner's wife. So it's Wagner's wife's cousin. Gardinet, well, it could be Gardiner. I don't. There's no I before the. So it's probably Michael Gardiner, Michelle Gardiner.
You know, it also starts with a C. Hang on.
Let's
get my word over real quick.
Gardiner presented as female, and Bunting referred to her as "quote unquote" the biggest homo.
Thus, pedophile. So.
Well, it wasn't just pedophiles, it was homosexuals too. But because you have this transgender person, his go-to was, "Oi, that's the biggest homo I've ever seen."
I mean, Mike, if you got to put all of the homos on a spectrum, I would probably say that that would be the most homo.
The biggest homo.
You might be onto something.
So she went missing in 1997. Oh.
Wait, did she go missing or did he go missing?
The Michelle Gardiner,
the man,
aka Michael, let's Mr. or Mrs. Gardiner. Miss wouldn't be Mrs. So shortly before her disappearance in September of 1997, Gardiner was playing with Wagner's children in her front yard. Gardiner grabbed one of the children and placed her hand over the child's mouth. Huh?
How were they playing?
I don't know.
Is it with her children?
Jeremy, you assumed that I was there for all of these things.
Well, they're pedophiles, wait. Right?
What color was his pants?
Were they playing doctors at the games they were playing?
I don't know.
You said this was Gardner's kids?
Gardner is the transgender man, woman.
Right.
Wait, how do you do? Is a transgender
you
woman?
It. You want to know how to do it real easy?
Being a
it's,
woman?
It's a man dressed as a woman.
Yeah, okay.
Easy peasy. The biggest homo.
I think so.
So the biggest homo walks over to Wagner's children and then places her hand over the child's mouth. Wagner Ooh. Saw the incident and became very upset. He was very upset about that. Bunting and Wagner
Get
took
your big
Gardner,
gay hands off those kids.
So Bunting and Wagner took Gardner to Murray Bridge, South Australia, where they strangled her in a shed, forcing her to stand up each time that she collapsed. Wagner and Bunting then staged a robbery at Gardner's home, stealing some of Zarita's belongings and convincing her that Gardner had stolen them in order to pay for a sex change operation.
Story checks out.
Probably stole that shit to pay for getting the wiener lobbed off.
I don't know, sticking her fingers in little kids' mouths.
Oh, God. Gardner's body was kept in a barrel in the shed until it was moved to Snowtown, which now we learn the name of these murders is also a.k.a.
the Snowtown murders. So, actually, Mike, I did while you were telling the story, I looked up what Bunting looked like. in prison right now.
Oh, yeah?
He looks like a pedophile. He looks like a big gay pedophile, like Jeff was saying earlier. He might be a little gay. He might want to fuck kids. I did look up his picture. And
oh.
if you could judge a book by a cover.
What Bunting starts to do with his murders is this. So with Gardner, he takes her body and puts it into a barrel and then puts it into an abandoned bank vault in Snowtown, Australia.
It's Mad Max. Australia really is Mad Max.
So her right ear was covered by a slip knot in a rope that was wrapped around her neck.
Hell yeah.
And then he chopped off her left foot so she could fit in the barrel.
It's also the gayest foot.
The left one?
Yeah.
Now we go into Vanessa Lane.
Inside.
Spoiler, she's dead.
Vanessa Lane.
I told you.
What does FKA mean? If you have AKA, what does FKA mean?
Falsely known as?
Oh, okay.
That's an assumption. That's a pure spec. I don't know.
Frank? So, Frank so known as?
So Vanessa Lane.
Frankly known as?
Frankly and falsely are the complete opposite spectrum.
This is definitely her name. Frankly known as Vanessa Lane.
That would just be everybody.
It's not necessary.
Yeah. All right. FKA Barry Lane, 42, was Wagner's.
Wait, is that another trans?
I don't know.
Vanessa to Barry?
You're going to have to let me speak.
Is Barry Lane our. Oh, no.
FKA Barry Lane, 42, was Wagner's ex partner. Lane was in a relationship with Wagner at the time that Bunting first moved to Salisbury North and met him in 1991. Bunting had accepted Lane into his circle of friends because Lane kept him informed of the activities of local pedophiles. Sounds like a pedophile informant.
FKA.
FKA, pedophiles.
Also known as.
Super homos.
We call them Franks. Frankly known as.
So after Lane was accused of molesting a local boy, Lane and Wagner's Bingham Road house was firebombed, and Wagner left Lane.
Is firebomb like an upper decker or what?
Vanessa Lane was in a relationship with Wagner, right? And then people find out that Wagner put her hands over Wagner's kids' mouths, and then people got upset about
what
it, and their house
happening?
Got firebombed.
She put her mouth over their mouth?
No, her hand over their mouth. And then their house gets fucking firebombed. And then she moves in and starts having a relationship with this guy named Trevelyan. And he and Lane...
006.
Like, go to Bunting and start doing this back and forth thing where Trevelyan's like, oh, she's abusing me. And
my safe word is yes.
And so Lane.
She doesn't understand me.
So after Trevelyan goes to Bunting and says that she's abusing me, he convinces Bunting to basically abduct her. And then fucking after she's like abusing her mom, she's doing all these things. She's abusing Trevelyan. She gets picked up by Bunting and Trevelyan, and they torture her for information about her bank account. They start crushing her toe with pliers, and then she was then strangled to death. Bunting assumed control of Lane's vehicle and then claimed her welfare payments. So again, another murder involving taking their money. And then on May 20th,
a pedophile's money.
May 20th is going to be a date that pops up a lot. 1999, her dismembered body was found by police in a barrel in the bank vault in Snowtown, along with the body of Gardner.
The other trans.
Yeah. Well, the biggest homo. It wasn't a trans. Lane, it says nothing about her being trans, just
she's also Barry.
A woman.
She's Vanessa and Barry.
And then that guy who went to Bunting and said, this lady's abusing me, and then helped.
Which guy?
Helped Trevelyan. When Trevelyan goes to Bunting and says, this woman's abusing me, let's murder her, he's the next victim. So that was Lane's last partner. He was 18. He also suffered from horrible paranoid schizophrenia and hallucinations, which led him to believe that he was a soldier.
We've all seen GoldenEye. He comes back.
He like does he, come
James
back.
Bond didn't even know. James Bond didn't even know he was. He thought he was dead. He's like,
and they thought Alex, they were friends.
There's a draft. There's a draft. And so, remember from the movie. And then,
and this is a guy. He's in this. He's in this this horrible state where he's also wearing army fatigues. He thinks that he's a soldier and he wears army fatigues all the time. And then he was living with Lane for a total of 5 months. And then he helped Bunting and Wagner kill her. Wagner's girlfriend's son was playing with a dog when Trevelyan began chasing it in an attempt to kill the animal with
playing
his knife.
With, playing with it, how? Like putting his hand over its mouth?
He's a pedophile. He's a pet-a-file.
It's just a puppy.
A pet-a-file. He was stopped, but that afternoon, Bunting told the others that Trevelyan had started to go mental. And that he would need to, he would be a liability to them. So Trevelyan was like joining the clique with Bunting and Wagner and everybody else. And then Bunting was like, he's gone mental. It's time to kill him.
He fucked his dog.
He didn't fuck the dog.
Might as well be a pedophile in my eyes.
He's trying to, only pedophiles murder dogs.
No, he's the second biggest homo I ever met.
So then Trevelyan was then driven on the 5th of November to Kersbrook in the Adelaide Hills by Bunting and Wagner.
Remember.
He was made to lean up against a box and had a noose put over his neck. He was discovered hanging from a tree in Humbug Scrub. Oh, Australia. In Humbug Scrub.
You know, Jeff, in V for Vendetta, when V starts going off with all the V words at the beginning of the movie... I wanted to reach through my screen and smack Hugo Weaving in the face, tell him to shut the fuck up.
That murder was deemed a suicide by the coroners.
Vivaciously.
Now we go into the next murder of Gavin Allen Porter, who was Vlasicus's friend, 29. He was also diagnosed with schizophrenia. And he actually spent a long time in mental institutions.
What is in the water?
Pedophilia.
I don't know. In 1997, he met Vlasicus and moved in with him. So you'll start to notice that a lot of these murders are in relation to people who are close with Bunting. These aren't like targeted people on the street. These are people with his like, you know, his neighbors and his neighbors' like partners or ex.
Nobody connected the dots.
It's because they were all fucking each other. Jeff was right at the beginning. This guy's a little gay. He wants to touch kids, but he tells himself it's wrong. So he goes on this crusade.
He's right. He's right there, but then, you know, then you make up stories about other people doing it, and that's
well, he's fucking these dudes that are trusting him and also pedophile hunting, and then he starts accusing them of shit to get them out of the way. He made a cult.
Hey everybody, Future Michael here. Just want to tell you about our band of the week, Black Orange, with their song, Sacred Ground. Look them up, check them out. They don't have a lot of music on Spotify, but I'm sure they're making more. And we're brought to you by Dungeon Studios, makers of 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons modules. Go to their website, dungeonstudios.co, and download a module today. Do you want to feel safe from all the spooky murders that are happening all around you? Go sit in a safe, dark basement with your friends and play D&D. Boom, ha, oh, magic missile. Yeah, bye.
So Vlasicus and Porter they moved in together. They were both heroin addicts.
And crazy. That is not a good mixture. Like, you crazy? I'm crazy. You want to do heroin? Yep.
You want to lean against me for 3 hours while we think about killing pedophiles?
Does that guy look a little too close to his dog to you?
Hey man, I know I just hot blasted, but I'm pretty sure he just finger popped his dog.
I saw it.
Vlasicus, another lady named Elizabeth Harvey, and Porter all move in with Bunting, right? They all move in together. And then
Murder house.
Bunting begins referring to Porter as a waste who no longer deserved to live. So his buddy Vlasicus is a heroin addict. This other heroin addict, they all move in together. He's like, I don't know, that other heroin addict, he's a waste. Time to take him out.
You're a weird heroin addict.
Right? Bunting was pricked by a used syringe that Porter had left on the couch in his living room, and then that was the moment that he was like, I've had enough! I got stuck by your heroin needles! Hey, Vlasticus at least keeps his shit on lock!
Well, you don't just...
You left your goddamn needle out! I got poked in the thigh!
Don't leave your shit out.
I've been like, right? Joke's on you.
That's heroin 101. Don't leave your shit out.
Put your shit away.
Joke's on you. I have AIDS. I have the only known cure. Don't kill me.
We're heroin addicts, not animals. Put your shit away.
So, Porter, he was sleeping in his parked car on Bunting's property, probably getting high on heroin, and then Bunting and Wagner attacked him. And then when he woke up, he actually managed to stab Bunting in the hand with a screwdriver before being overpowered by the two of them, and then they strangled him to death. And his body was displayed to Vlasticus.
all hail, mighty Vlasticus.
Before being
shoved
into a barrel.
Destroyer of homos, Vlasticus.
Where are they getting all these barrels? Barrels are expensive. Have you looked in the price of getting a barrel?
I found a good sale on barrels.
They washed up.
I've looked at the price of barrels.
And his body was found on May 20th. That's the date, May 20th, 1999.
I didn't put them in those barrels. So they washed later. Up on the beach.
Yeah, no, I just... barrels are expensive. Like, you must really hate somebody. Be like, you know what? I keep buying barrels, but then I keep fucking murdering people.
I just want
an empty barrel, but I can't. I can't never have it.
I just want to fill them with bodies.
Right. Hey, Mr. Like, Joseph Jengelheimer Schmidt.
You pedophile.
I see you've got this here pedophile barrel you're not using. You think I can use it?
You're wearing pedophile pants. Anyway,
what's
next
your name?
Murder.
Jack Joe Jim Bob Steve. Oh, the he's a pedophile. He's a pedophile.
I talked to your wife, Nancy Tracy Stacy Jessica.
The next murder to take place is Frederick Robert Brooks.
Yeah, he definitely did.
18 years old. He was the son of Jody Elliott, who was Hayden's sister's. I'm sorry, it was the sister of Hayden's wife. It was Hayden's sister-in-law.
You need like a chart, like a.
I have no
chart
idea where we're at.
They're all people who are related to these fucking
at this
people.
Point, they're all pedophiles, I keep thinking about James Bond.
I feel like this guy is just killing everybody he knows, and the police are doing nothing. they're doing such shoddy police work. They're like, how many people have gone missing? Everybody near this guy. We'll figure it out.
It's because all of the police are protecting Gastown.
Hayden's wife's sister, Jody Elliott, moved to South Australia in late 1997 to be near her sister. Bunting became obsessed with the notion that Brooks, which was her son, was touching up young girls.
A pedophile?
I don't know. I mean, he's 18.
I thought this story was called torture.
Anyway,
I don't know what's happening.
It's
right now.
The pedophile hour.
Well, he's just well, the thing is, Jeremy, he like in his mind, he had no proof. At this point, he was just like, oh, I think he's touching up young girls. And he started bragging to everybody that this 18-year-old kid was a pedophile.
He was bragging that he's a pedophile?
Oh, man, this is the coolest 18-year-old pedophile I ever met.
Well, no, and that's something bad was going to happen to him. So he's basically telling these people, and then he was like, I think something bad's going to happen to him.
Yeah, and yet the police does nothing. Like, they're like, yeah, he said, hopefully nothing bad happens to him. And the next day, dude was dead. He was gone. He's missing. And they're like, it's a bit flimsy.
They're all worried about the emu problem, dude. They're like, oh, he's killing pedophiles. Good. Less paperwork.
All right. So Brooks gets a letter in the mail saying that he has been accepted into the Australian Air Force cadets. And Bunting, Wagner, and Vlasticus all threw a party for him. Vlasticus, Wagner, and Bunting tortured him in a bathtub. And with some of the other previous victims, they handcuffed him and thumb cuffed him. They inserted.
You won't be sticking those in little kids anymore.
And now we're starting to get into the torture aspect of these murders. So now it's no longer killing with shovels and quick strangulation and stuff
quick
like that.
Strangulation.
So they take this 18-year-old kid who had no history of pedophilia. Or pedophilia, right?
Who did?
Nobody.
All of them.
Okay.
I'm counting. I all kept right. a sheet.
They began to insert lit cigarettes into his ears, into his nostrils.
Nostrils.
Nostrils. And then they took a lit sparkler and then shoved it up his urethra. Mm. So I just imagine Bunting, and he's like, you goddamn pedophile. Hey, we got to get him hard. We got to get him hard. We got to get his dick hard so we can shove this sparkler. Here, let me help you with that. No, get away from me. No, we got to get you. I bet you like that, you pedophile. You get your homo. So I just imagine that that's what's happening. He's just like, oh, I want to touch your genitals so I can do terrible harm to you. And then they shoved a lit sparkler down his urethra. Do you know how hot sparklers are? One of those sparklers burns between 1,800 and 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Those sparklers that you have, you know, you light it 4th of July and have
fun
with.
Yeah, they cooked them from the inside.
Yeah, so he shoved it into his urethra.
Which probably felt good on the way down.
Probably not.
Wow, have you ever had a dowel in your dick?
A dowel? Have you?
Nope.
It sounds like you have.
I've seen the kit, though.
Are you a pedophile?
You must be some kind of the biggest homo I ever met.
He was then made to... So after they do this, after they shove the lit sparkler down his dick, he was then made to speak into a recording device releasing his bank account information. All right, so what's your routing number? What's your bank account number? Oh, God.
I mean, if they'd asked me before the sparkler, I would have given it to them. Like, I would have been like, you're going to do what with that sparkler? Yeah, here's my bank account information. I'll get you my mother's bank account information. I'll ask everybody I know for their bank account information. Keep that sparkler away.
After he gives that, they inject bleach into his testicles.
How'd they do that? Heroin needles?
They injected bleach into his testicles, and then they wired it to a Variarc. Sending electrical impulses throughout his entire body. Then they crushed his toes with pliers before he choked to death on his gag. His body was found.
In a shallow grave?
No, Jeremy.
In a barrel?
Yes.
In a barrel?
In a barrel. On?
Again.
In a vault?
May 20th, 1999.
Okay.
That's where they found him.
How many more people are we going to find on May 20th, 1999?
There's 11 total murders, I believe.
Holy
now
shit.
We have
we're halfway
like
through.
We're like oh my god! Late.
Okay.
So now we go into Elizabeth Hayden, 37, who was
the sister of the guy that he banged when he was six, and then they were a pedophile, and then
who was Hayden's wife?
Yes, that's what I just said.
So
Elizabeth Allen was actually funny story about Australian Elizabeth Allen. Oh, she was only in one of the murders.
Right. She only features once.
Well, great performance.
Actually, I accidentally skipped over one. There's three actually. So I'll go back to Gary O'Dwyer, but Elizabeth Hayden, who
please
is
please do.
You want me to go back to Gary?
Yeah.
So okay.
He's the Timothy Dalton of the story.
All right, so Gary O'Dwyer is the next murder in the series. He was 29, and he was Bunting's neighbor. Again, the guy, he has a very, very limited view around him. He's like, hey, do you know any pedophiles?
So why do all these pedophiles keep moving next to me?
So he was 29, he's the neighbor of Bunting, and he was not only mentally, but he was also physically disabled.
What is up with Australia and like people moving next to this dude? That are like just
all the retard pedophiles keep moving next to him.
But so this guy just existed, and Bunting would repeatedly call him a fag. So at this point, he goes to Vlasicus and he's like asking for his assistance. This is 1998 to learn the pertinent details regarding Gary O'Dwyer's financial situation, whether he had any family. So he's
I bet they find him May 20th, 1998,
in a barrel,
in a bank vault.
In a bank vault.
So,
frog on
in
a log.
Snow, Indiana. Is that right? Indiana?
Snowtown.
Snowtown, Las Vegas.
50 next miles north of Bullet. Yeah, 50 miles north of Bullet Town.
Right next to Whoville.
So Bunting basically sees his neighbor, and he's like this poor, poor disabled guy.
You don't
like,
know if he's
fag.
Poor, Mike. He probably has disability, which is why Bunting is going so on that, his courageous God set mission.
It's not
to rid the world of retard pedophiles.
We're on a mission from God.
From God.
So he goes to Vlasicus.
I've got this routing number and half a pack of cigarettes.
So he goes to Vlasicus and he's like, we need to get his bank information. He's like, oh, is he getting money in? And so he gets Vlasicus to like do some research. So they arranged for Vlasicus to go to Gary O'Dwyer and then set it up for them all to just like hang out and, as friends and have a couple drinks.
How many dinner parties did this guy have that actually involved dinner? Like, I just want to know.
He kept hiring those grandchildren from the first murder as the waiters and waitresses, and he just watches the eyes.
He keeps taking people out to dinner parties. Have you ever eaten dinner over at his place? No, 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 no.
He's
don't
got
do
those,
that.
He's got the seats like Dr. Evil.
Right.
I'll take your pedophile.
And he wants $100,000.
Mikey falls into a pit. They just start punching his dick when he lands in it.
Why? You gotta get it hot. I gotta insert the sparkler.
I'm okay, but I'm quite injured.
All right, so they took him out. They didn't meet up at a house or anything. They went out to Francis Street and Murray Bridge, South Australia. So Bunting had set out to get O'Dwyer drunk, and after approximately 15 to 20 minutes, they got him fucking drunk, and then Wagner grabbed him around the throat and proceeded to torture O'Dwyer for several hours. His body was then taken to Hayden's home, where it was placed in...
A barrel,
and it was found...
In a bank vault.
On...
May 20th?
1999.
Okay. If you go in and you buy as many barrels... Like, you're put on a list, unless you're like, what are you doing? You're like, oh, I make whiskey, or like, I put wine into barrels? Like, the answer is, like, you kill people, right?
I'll make pedophiles go away.
I think the police are just supplying this guy with barrels and told him where an abandoned bank vault was.
None of these people are fucking pedophiles.
You don't know that, Mike. None of it's proven. They're all dead.
You buy five barrels, you get one free.
Jeremy,
so far I've heard
this is men,
those
women, and children.
Those
grandkids.
Those grandkids said that man touched us, and then he killed that guy.
Okay, so that guy. Well, you're talking about Lane, and Lane was actually, I do believe, a woman.
Davies.
Hang on, let me get my chart. And, that was Gardner. Was a woman.
It was Davies.
Gardner was a man who was transitioning into a woman.
And so was Vanessa, was also a man turning into a woman.
No.
Yeah, ooh. She also went by Barry.
It was
Barry
FKA
Allen,
Barry.
Which is the Flash.
Well, we have Chuck on the show, and she's not a dude.
Is she not? Do we
now
know
we
that?
Actually, Jeff, have you seen on, they just put out, I think it's on Prime, Crisis on Infinite Earth. Have you watched it yet?
No, I bought it, because I buy all those animated movies. So, yeah.
Yep. I just
watched
it last night.
We're talking about murder.
It's good.
There's a lot of murder.
You think there's not murder? There's
torture.
Whole universes murdered. Oh, whole universes are murdered.
All right. So now we get into Elizabeth Hayden, who was the sister of what's her face, and her son Robert Frederick Robert Brooks, Jody Elliott. So Jody Elliott's son was fucking murdered.
Mike has a bucket of names. He's just pulling out random names and putting them together.
And then Elizabeth Hayden, who was Mark Hayden's wife.
B5. Right?
That's probably the most important thing. It was Mark Hayden's wife and Frederick Brooks' aunt. So Bunting,
we're supposed to go. What?
This murder took place. This murder took place because Bunting found out that Hayden began to tell his wife about the murders, and then Bunting hated her from the get go. and then he warned his other friend Vlasicus that she was an issue because she knew about the killings.
That's what he called them, the kiddings. They went the series of pedophilia. That's why he had his own board stretched out with string in his room.
Yeah.
It's because he was the kiddings. He was following all of the child pedophilia going on.
It's so strange. It's all happening all around me. And only me.
I was born for this.
I can't wait until they have him like the interview room and they're like, how are you connected to this murder? And he's like, I don't fucking know.
My cul-de-sac will be free of pedophiles.
Right, I know. I don't even know. Like, a lot of people around you have died. I'm like, have they? Yeah.
When they said they moved on, I thought they moved to America.
Sir, there's been 11 murders. There's 11 barrels you bought. Like, I don't say, like, you. I don't want to do the math, but it seems like they're in barrels.
I've gotten into homesteading.
So Bunting finds out that she knows. The other buddy, Wagner, starts talking to Bunting, and he's like, listen, I have the same exact feeling about Elizabeth Hayden. She's a fucking whore and a lowlife. And then Bunting and Wagner come up with they arrive at her residence. Her husband, Mr. Hayden, the other guy in the murders.
I'm so confused right now.
Well, Hayden's the guy that was like, he wasn't involved in the murders, but he knew about them. He was holding on to some of these barrels as Bunting and Vlasicus.
Mr. Wagner, Hayden, Hidden Church.
Joseph.
Wagner, Vlasicus, and Bunting are the guys who are like doing the murders, right? Hayden is the one who's like a neighbor, but he's like helping to hide the barrels. And then he also is providing information about people, or they're also murdering people associated. But anyway, Elizabeth, his wife, gets fucking taken out because Wagner and Vlasicus and Bunting know that she knows about the murders, and they go out to her house, and then her husband and children, they went out for the night. So Mr. Hayden takes his kids, and then they all go out, and then she was alone. They dragged her to the bathroom. They tortured and murdered her.
But she doesn't have a penis.
No, she doesn't. That's what I'm saying. None of this is about pedophilia.
That sounds like a lot of it was about pedophilia.
None of it is, actually.
Well, I've seen accusations.
Wait.
From the perspective of the murderer, of the crazy fucking murderer.
Wait, so you're saying there's a lot of bank account information going, so it's paid.
They get paid.
Where is it?
Got him.
So they put a rope around her neck. They gagged her. They taped that gag to her mouth. And then supposedly later that day, when Mr. Hayden comes back, he saw her remains and just laughed. And then they put her body
in a barrel.
In a barrel.
And then they put
in a bank vault on
May 20th,
1999, in the Snowtown bank vault. Now the last murder.
Whoville. They just all found them on May 20th, 1999.
That's because all of the bodies were in the barrels in the bank vault, and they found just all of them all at once.
I don't think it has the.
You
effect
did it, Jeremy.
I think it does.
It's.
You're just like, guess when they found, like, is it?
They all got found at the same time. That's when he got caught.
Okay, fine. Fair enough.
Hold on, I got to pee.
All right.
Pedophile.
The next matter. David Johnson, 24. This was Vlasicus's stepbrother. Again, just they can't break away from the tight-knit area of just like the people around them.
My father is Zeus. Your father's a vagabond.
So this was Vlasicus's stepbrother.
I am Vlasicus's.
So
killer of pedophiles and stepbrothers.
Bunting did not like Johnson, David Johnson, because he was fastidious in his cleanliness and appearance.
That doesn't start with a V.
He's daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, daddy and gross.
These heroin vagabonds with their vivacious needles.
Vivacious baluchas.
Bunting frequently referred to him as a yuppie and a faggot.
You mean a vuppie?
That yuppie, a vuppie.
And then
that vuppie faggot.
That vuppie.
He's a pedophile.
A pedophile.
If I've ever heard one.
remember the 20th of May. Bro, that's the day I killed all the gays.
All right, so Bunting began talking to Vlasicus about getting him and suggested that Vlasicus find a way to get to the guy's bank in Snowtown.
They'll never suspect
it. I'm sorry. Talked about getting him to the bank in Snowtown, meaning let's get him in a barrel.
Or you need to make a deposit.
I need to get his bank info.
I wonder if that's what he said every
time
he brought
little
it up.
Jokes?
Time to make a deposit.
Hey, boys. Looks like another fag. Gonna have to make another deposit down in Snowtown.
I need his bank info and a barrel.
I'm gonna route his number right to the bank vault
in
Snowtown.
This is May 9th, 1999. Vlasicus told his stepbrother.
I hope nobody finds these barrels.
No,
he starts measuring him. He just pulls out a tape measure.
Oh, you're going to fit in the barrel nice.
It looks like you might have to lose the left foot.
So he told his stepbrother, Vlasikas told his stepbrother Johnson that there was a computer for sale, real cheap, in Snowtown.
It's at the bottom of this barrel.
So he agreed to go so he could buy it. I guess he needed a computer. Then they immediately overpowered him as soon as he entered the building. And then Johnson was the only victim who actually died in Snowtown. And then his body was found a few days later on the 20th, 1999.
In a barrel.
A piece of flesh from Johnson was fried and eaten by Bunting and Wagner. So they lobbed off a little section of his flesh and fucking cooked it.
He's an anophile.
Why would you want to consume him, though? Give me his energy.
If I eat his flesh, I can tell where all the other pedophiles are. It's like pedophile GPS.
The investigation into the it's like the
he
barrels.
Can see through his eyes. He enters the ghost realm of pedophiles.
What investigation?
So we have this body that was found in the shallow grave.
Realize that nobody's a pedophile.
They find the body of the of Trevelyan as he was found hung. People originally thought it was a suicide.
That's, yeah,
and then the inquiries into the whereabouts of Elizabeth Hayden eventually led everybody, all the police, to Snowtown. And then they went into the bank. And then found all the fucking barrels and then started opening them up. These barrels were also filled with hydrochloric acid.
Is it weird to you
acid.
That there's a bunch of barrels? There's a bunch of barrels in this bank. Is that weird?
That's weird.
To you? All right. Well, should we look in them or should we just... There's 11.
Oh, God, it's people soup. Oh, there's people soup in here. Oh, God.
They stuck a tap to it.
You have to really...
Oh, God.
They didn't even really admire the barrel, the barrel maker. The barrel maker made barrels that...
They were full of hydrochloric in wooden barrels?
No, it was metal barrels.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Yeah, it was metal barrels.
This changes the whole story!
Yeah, they're definitely not pedophiles now.
Why are you letting us go on and on about fucking barrels? Where are they getting metal barrels?
That was it for Jeremy. Oh, they're not wooden
barrels? I thought they were pedophiles until I found out they were metal barrels. I'm on the other side.
Actually, jokes on everybody, it was plastic barrels.
Oh, definitely pedophiles. That's pedophile shit right there, dude.
So
it's Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad.
So as they're doing their investigation, it's believed that the bodies were held.
The cops walk in, and somebody's been cooking. Bubbling pedophiles in a barrel.
And you're like, that'll really be hilarious in 20 years.
Wait, in those times, he takes his sunglasses off and the music, wow.
Okay, so...
What are you doing?
So the...
Solving crimes.
There's just a guy in the corner with a gong. Dung, dung. It's the 90s.
Yeah.
So they believe that the bodies were held in several locations in South Australia before being moved to Snowtown in 1999. So they believe that the killers moved the bodies after they became aware of the ongoing police investigation. So these bodies were held at Hayden's house for a good long time as they were murdering him. And then they decided to eventually move him over to the bank where I think the last couple murders took place when they started moving the barrels as a total into the bank vault.
This is barrel of laughs.
Two bodies were found buried in the backyard.
That's what I'm saying. Were they making jokes the whole time?
Who's they?
Because they're all a group of friends, right? So they're like,
you have glasses on and you're like taking off the glasses like David Caruso from CSI.
Oh, they found two buried in the backyard at Bunting's house. And then they eventually arrested and charged him. I'm assuming after they found the people buried there. Wagner and Hayden and Bunting were all arrested and charged on the 21st of May, 1999 for the murders. Vlasikas was picked up on the 26th of May. And at that time, he was also living in Bunting's house. So this is one of the longest murder trials, like, for Australia. It took for fucking ever to do the murder trial. December 2003, Bunting was finally convicted. So it was a four-year trial, which I guess is a really long time. But that's nothing for America.
Well, he was getting rid of all those kid fuckers.
Remember that one guy? It was like 40 years.
That guy was on trial before he was like convicted.
Oh, from the unethical?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. He like died halfway through. I remember that.
No, he didn't. Well, we put his ass to death like last year.
We reinstituted the death penalty. Put him down.
No, that was a decoy.
I was still out there raping.
So Bunting was convicted of committing 11 murders. Wagner of 10 of the murders, which he only confessed to the 3 of them. Vlasic has pled guilty to 4 of the murders.
Only 3. Let's calm down, people. There's only 3 murders. It wasn't 10. It wasn't 9. It was 3.
And then the following year.
Maybe 4.
And the 3.
It's definitely 3.
I mean, it was my shovel.
I mean. And I never got it back.
And then the following year, in 2004, Hayden was convicted on 5 counts of assisting the murders, which he admitted to 2, and that is like holding the barrels, like holding on to the bodies for Bunting.
I just brought the barrels. I was the barrel guy.
I thought it was full of salt. I don't know. I didn't know it was full of pedophiles.
I thought we were cooking meth.
I thought I was a drug mule.
So
right.
So after this is all said and done, and
turns out you were a person mule.
So the town itself of Snowtown, there's a resident, Rob Vanderveen.
Wait. I got something. I'm a David Caruso. Got my glasses. Guess it's a rainy day. In Snowtown.
Ow! Badum-sh. So, yes. So these two people in Snowtown in 2012, Rob Vanderveen and his partner Chris Black, Chris K-R-Y-S-S, which I'm assuming is a man and a lady, they bought the infamous bank vault in 2012. So he says... It's,
what do they do, tours? Nice. They do tours?
It's nice and quiet, he says, of the town itself. Snowtown's a small place. Its population hovers a bit over 400. But there's an IGA. I don't know what that is. A soldier's memorial. Wait, so and a news agent and a pub. It's a nice town.
So this...
Snowtown.
This dude had at least murdered like at least 2% of the population.
Well, no, none of the murders took place in Snowtown. So you have to remember that. Okay, so nobody right. that was murdered in Snowtown except for the last guy.
They were all
guy was murdered there.
They were all murdered 20 miles down the road in Pedophilia Town.
Yeah, in Adelaide.
Right. don't live there. Just pick a new town.
So then,
Snowtown.
Yeah, he ended up bringing the barrels over there, and then he killed the last guy there. So
we found a nice bungalow in Rape Town, but it was too expensive, so we had to move to Pedophile Town.
Why is he Cockney?
They all are, Mike.
None of them are.
They're Cockney. All the bad people who were kicked out of Britain.
And he's bipolar, isn't it?
Isn't it?
So
I talk to multiple personalities, I do, I is.
So Vanderveen buys the bank with his wife, and he says, every day we get tourists, every day. It doesn't worry us. We know that it gets people into town. We've got the pub next door, so people can get drunk, I guess, after they go look at the horrible bank situation. And there's a few shops.
Barrels of mead.
We actually open the bank on weekends and public holidays to sell bric-a-brac.
You ever had bric-a-brac, though?
I've never once.
I've never even heard of that word. That just sounds like nonsense.
It's got to be like Vegemite, right?
Yep.
Yep.
It's like, sure. you remember that?
We sell bric-a-brac in Vegemite.
No, it's like sounds like made up. Do you ever hear those like on the commercials, like if it's COVID, Paxlovid. Like the those things, and it's like if it's the flu, whoopity-doo. I just hate those commercials. He's like, if it's COVID, Paxlovid.
And then he proceeds to say, "There's information. People are interested." So the last interesting bit of info is that Hayden is gonna be released in a couple months.
Okay.
So this is the guy that didn't do the murders.
He's the barrel hider.
Yeah, he's the barrel hider.
And he's single.
So he's So Australia is prepping for his release this year.
By hiding all their pedophiles?
Well, they're like, don't give this guy barrels. Don't, like, you're not allowed within 50 feet of a barrel. What about children? No, that's fine.
So May 2024, his sentence will be done, and he is set to walk free.
Is it May 20th?
No, probably. Probably. That would be...
May 20th, 2029.
Distasteful. 2024.
For the sake of the story, it's definitely is May 20th.
So Hayden gets to go soon. So Australia's all prepped for that.
Hide your barrels! Bring him inside!
Hide your penis! They really like to go for the penis!
He can never say the word barrel again. Like, he can't... As soon as that guy says barrel, you're like, police! I heard you said barrel. Everywhere. I didn't. I said Daryl. His name's Daryl.
Everywhere he goes, someone just punches him in the dick.
Victims' Rights Commissioner Michael O'Connell said that the impending release will remind the family the sentence was never long enough.
Do you think when he gets out of jail... And he's like around his grandkids who play little jokes. Like, they'll be walking towards him and he'll grab him and move him towards the barrel and be like, no, I'm just kidding. Get out of here. Get out of here, little rascal.
No.
Little ragamuffin.
Little bric-a-brac.
Get out of here, little bric-a-brac. Come here.
Go eat your Vegemite.
Oh, I got your cheek. Oh, I got your cheek. Get out of here.
If it's the flu, whoop-a-dee-doo.
You know what I always say? Just don't look like a pedophile.
Hey, come here, little Jimmy. I'll tell you about the time I met the biggest homo in my life.
Oh, no.
He ended up in a barrel. I'm sorry. They ended up in a barrel.
Jeff, thank you for joining us, Jeff. What do you have to plug? What projects are you working on?
Anything you'd like to plug, Jeff? Jeff?
This is so unexpected. Thanks for asking. So I, I definitely started my own podcast. I like the other guys, the torture guys, like I also looked at like things like, are like you can't really find on the internet or like podcasts about. So I started a podcast about butter.
Ooh.
It's an episode and a half. It's unlistenable. And it's called My Podcast is Butter Than Yours.
Ah, where can people find it?
Spotify, nowhere. Apple Music.
I destroyed it. It's terrible. It's a song. Butter!
I have 5 tapes of 5 hours of it on repeat that I'll send through the mail.
But I like the remix, too. Like, but remix? Anyway. Yeah, so be on the lookout for that. That's never going to happen.
Okay, Butter. Be on the lookout. You know, it's never going to happen. Yeah.
Well, you know how many different types of butter there are? There's like regular butter. There's
salted.
Like, you know, salted butter. There's unsalted butter.
Garlic
there's
butter.
The garlic. Well, yeah, obviously. And then
garlic like and herb.
Soft butter. Yeah. Well, herb. Yeah. Herb.
Like
herb,
American.
Yeah, a little bit of it. Something to do with it.
Like a goddamn freedom loving American.
Yeah. There's better be butter. Oh, can't believe it's not butter, which is not butter, but it's still fun.
Someone should sell a you butter believe it's still butter, bitch. It's just a tub of butter.
Right.
Just butter.
You better believe that it is butter because it is bitch.
Butter bitch is also a good name.
Butter bitch is a great name.
Butter bitch.
That's my name of my band.
That's your butter. Porn. It's your porn star name.
I don't think so. Well, but no.
I stay soft.
That sounds...
Like butter.
We are Majizzy Pod, MJSYPOD on all the things.
Spread me.
You can find us on all the social media at Majizzy Pod, MJSYPOD. We have a website, MajizzyPod.com. We have a phone number, Jimmy. What's that phone number?
Mike, I didn't get to my phone in time.
903-287-0660. Leave a voicemail or a text message. We'll play it on the show. If you have a band and you would like to promote your music, you can send that to our email at uhjyeah@majizzypod.com.
If you text the word butter and you will be selected to win some butter.
Michael will send you butter. Send your...
Some Majizzy Pod butter.
We also feature our bands on our playlist on Spotify, Majizzy Playlist. You can go to our secondary channel, Michael and Jeremy Steal Your Podcast Supreme, where you can listen to the interview that we did with Dan and Kevin, the hosts of the show Torture, which we stole and did a great job today.
I think so.
You better believe it.
I'm never going to look at a sparkler the same ever again.
Wait. So is this guy, does this guy even exist?
Yes.
It was all fabricated.
It was all a dream.
Everything you heard was created by a room of writers.
Which we don't pay anything at all.
You still couldn't tell the story?
I told the story just fine.
Yeah, well, in post.
Flawlessly.
What do you mean in post?
In post, it'll be perfect. Yes. Not a single stutter. Hold on, let me zoom back out and read 17 paragraphs.
Click.
Back.
It's hard.
Click.
Jeremy, click. It's hard. It's
That's
hard
what
to
she
do.
Said.
Okay?
That's what she said.
Jeremy, I actually got a hit. Somebody heard your theme song thing.
Oh, really?
Yep, they sent us a message saying that they're working on it now.
Really?
Yes.
Who's that?
I'm not going to tell you.
Give me a name.
Not until it happens.
I want to look them up.
I'm not going to say it until it happens.
That's crazy.
When we have something to present, I will present it. I'm giving you and our listeners a little sneak peek.
Who? What's the name of the band? We'll cut it.
It's not a band.
It's a person?
Yeah.
That we know?
No.
Phil? Phil a barrel.
We do know them.
We do?
We do know them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they sent me a message saying that they're going to make us a theme song.
Is it Lydia Can't Breathe?
No, it's not.
Oh.
No, it's not a band. It's a person.
Thanks, Trit.
It's not Trit. Hi, Trit! Hey! Hey, Trit. All right, I think that's it.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too.
Peace.
Bye.
Adios. Jeremy, that was,
oh, man.
Was a lot of horrifying stuff that guy did.
People are innovative.
Really, really they are, especially with sparklers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, Kevin and Dan have just kind of been sitting in the corner in the dark while we've been doing their podcast. What did you guys think of the show?
It was fine. Can I get untied now?
Leave me tied up. It's okay.
Okay, I'll untie Kevin. Okay, here you go, buddy.
I feel like having to sit there listening to our show was the torture.
How did you guys feel about it?
I think you did fine. You know, if I could have like moved, probably would have been better. But all in all, pretty good day.
My Australian accent isn't nearly as good as my Irish accent.
Are we just talking now?
Huh?
Are we just hanging out now?
Yeah, we're just hanging out together. Well, anyway, here's your podcast back. You can talk about your creepy, weird torture methods and your true crime and all the other stuff that you guys do all the time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I think.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. I guess. Get the fuck out. Go.
All right, fair enough.
I know. When Kevin, change
about them locks.
Right? It's very rude of you.
Mike,
and I put my beer back. God damn it.
Oh, you know, Jeremy.
I see what you're doing.
Jeremy, how's your gag reflex?
Disgusting. Drinks black beer.
Black beer's great. So torture.
How is plarp not a word?
How is what?
Plarp?
Plarp is not a word.
Really?
Thought I had the Wordle. Yeah. I thought it... To plarp...
Stop playing Wordle, Jeff. We're doing a podcast.
It's... Like, I feel like plarping is like farting when you're doing a backflip or something. It's not quark either, so that's not good.
You're still playing Wordle. Oh. Cool. Is that going to be the whole episode? You just playing Wordle?
Not if I figure it out.
Priorities, Jeff.
Well, what are the letters?
I have... There's an A in the middle. That's all I know. And I've like... I'm three guesses deep.
Stark.
How many... what? Four? Four letters?
Five letters.
Five letter words?
No. Yeah, it's... But like... You know what was crazy? Yesterday, I played Wordle, and I got the first three letters like automatically, and I was like, oh, sweet. I have this in the bag.
Do E on the end.
I failed it. It was my first time I... No, there's no E's in it.
Start.
The first time I ever failed.
Start.
Start was part... It was actually stash was the word.
Stash.
I did stack. I did so many variations of... I did start, stark. I failed.
So in the 90s, okay, this is when these murders there are happening.
Yeah, there wasn't even murder. There wasn't even Wordle back then.
Wordle didn't exist in the 90s.
This is pre-Wordle.
This man.
Have you thought of like Tarta or like Torta? Torta.
What?
Hang on. Let me.
You're gonna let me go into the murders? There's murder things happening.
He murdered and a guy confessed to it. I think we're done.
No, he didn't confess. He was just bragging to his friends 2 years later when it was on the TV.